Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskans.
Welcome to Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller. The making of art is one of the few things people can do in villages to bring in cash, so we're going to spend some time on this program looking at the business of art, especially the legal aspects of contracts and copyrights for people who work in all media, painters, sculptors, writers, oral historians, beadworkers, skin sewers, and all the fine crafts. Ed Nolde is an artist and an attorney practicing in Anchorage. He's interested in the field of arts law and gave participants at the Institute of Alaska Native Arts Confab some legal do's and don'ts.
You do want to have something in writing if you can get it. Most of the galleries will present you their standard form. Unless you are already fairly well established or have some type of reputation or they know you, they may not be willing to negotiate much or vary much from their standard terms. At least that's the way it appears to be in Anchorage. You more or less have to take or leave what they give you. However, if you know what to look for in the contracts, you can decide, well, I don't want to work with this gallery because this other gallery down the street is offering me a much better contract. So the kinds of things that you should look for are some of the following. What commission is being taken? And that's pretty basic. It can vary in Anchorage from 25% to 40% right there. When are the payments due you from the gallery? In many cases, the gallery will sell a work on the installment plan if the customer can't pay the entire price at once. Typically, the installment payments will stretch over 2 or 3 months. Now, I don't know if the galleries realized it when they drafted it this way in Anchorage, but one says it's not going to pay you anything until the customer has paid for the work in full. Suppose the customer makes the down payment, takes the work home, skips town or goes bankrupt or whatever, and never makes the last 2 installment payments. In theory, the gallery can say, well, that customer never paid us in full, we don't owe you anything. Other galleries say, we owe you your share of the proceeds within X days after the customer's final payment has become due. Well, I don't know if they realize what they've done, but in my opinion, they're obligated to pay you whether or not they ever collect the entire amount from the artist, I mean from the purchaser, from the customer. What about commissions, or the gallery's commission, rather, on commissioned work which you get as a result of work which you display at a gallery? Many galleries will expect you to pay them a commission on a private sale which is arranged without their help to a customer who saw your work first at their gallery. If the customer comes in and sees your work hanging and says, well, I don't really like that one, but I'd like the artist to do another piece, that gallery may well expect you to pay them either their usual commission or a lesser commission on that work, even though the work never appears in the gallery, and even though you haven't even created it at the time. Some gallery contracts, however, say nothing about that. Whatever may be the tradition in the gallery industry, if the contract is silent about that, you can take the position that you owe no such commission. Now, you may find that the gallery is not going to carry your work after that either, so it's a give and take. There's no hard and fast answer. What about risk of loss? Suppose the item is damaged, either while it's at the gallery or while it's in transit. Who's responsible? While it's being shipped, you can usually get insurance. If you're shipping it to the gallery, it's your responsibility to get the insurance in most cases before you ship it. Some galleries will attempt to avoid their own liability or responsibility for damage which they inflict on the work. Their contracts will attempt to say, or will say, whether or not it's enforceable is a different story, but their contracts will say, we're not responsible if we damage the work, or words to that effect. You may not have to live with that or accept that if a problem comes up, but you may well have to hire an attorney or find an attorney to do something about it. But at least look at that language. Find out what kind of risk you're running. Do you want to deal with that gallery when another gallery down the street might in fact say, we are responsible for our own mistakes if it damages your work? What happens if your work arrives at the gallery decides it doesn't like it, but it doesn't tell you? It happened to a guy who called me last week in Anchorage. His work was kept crated at a gallery in Anchorage for 4 months. The gallery never bothered to tell him that they were not displaying it. He found out about it by mistake. Well, under most of the contracts, there's very little you can do about that. Your solution is to check shortly after you ship. Find out, is it being hung? Have a friend go in and look around if you can't go there. If it's not being displayed and you can't work something out with the gallery, then you can probably pull it back from the gallery and try to find another gallery. Or you can maybe discuss with the gallery and find out what plans they have. Maybe they plan to hang it next month. But the guy who had his stuff crated for 4 months, he's up the creek. Without a paddle, there's probably not too much more he can do. Some galleries, very few in Anchorage, or none in Anchorage that I've found, but some outside, may request you to sign an exclusive dealing arrangement under which you promise to sell only through that gallery for sales within a particular geographic area. For example, for all sales within a city or a state or maybe even a region, you promise to sell through the gallery. That may mean that even though you sell through your studio and the work never even enters the gallery, you owe a commission to the gallery. It may mean that if you make a sale through another gallery, that you owe a commission to the first gallery. Again, depending on the language of the agreement. So beware of clauses like that. You might decide that it's worth the risk of signing on such a clause if the gallery is going to provide you certain other benefits, such as if the gallery is going to pay for a certain amount of publicity that you can't afford, and if that exclusive dealing arrangement is for a short enough period of time, you might decide that you want to run that risk. And you can decide to run any of these risks. It's up to you. I just want you to be aware of what you're doing before you decide to do it. Anyway, to move on to copyrights. The basic, and this is a really sketchy outline, but the basics here are: what is a copyright? How do you claim it? Why might you want to claim it? And what can you copyright? Those four topics. A copyright is your right to make copies. You, as the creator of an original work of art, whether it be visual or literary or three-dimensional, whatever, have the right to control copies or to prevent copies from being made. In most cases, if you're working as a paid salary employee of someone else and you're doing, for example, advertising art for your employer, that's a different story. But if you're working on your own, you usually will own the copyright. When you sell your painting or your sculpture, you still own the copyright unless you sign a separate written agreement saying that you're also selling the copyright. So what I've seen happen in the past, for example, is someone has sold a piece through a gallery in Anchorage and later found out that the buyer made calendars with it, reproduced the picture hundreds of times, making calendars in California. That person had no authority to do that and can be made to pay for that if the artist has put a proper copyright notice on the original, which gets to the second topic. How do you copyright? It's a two-step process. You should do at least the first one. Whenever you part with or display for sale any item of art, you can do the second one later when there's a problem. Or you can do it right away if you want to spend the money to do it. The first step is putting the proper notice on the work itself. It's the word copyright, or the abbreviation COPR period, or the abbreviation CC with a circle around it. The date of creation, only in terms of year 1979, 1981, and your name. That notice should go in some place where it's visible on the work. The copyright regulations say that you can actually put it on the back of paintings, but that doesn't give anybody else notice, in my opinion. And I'd suggest that you put it somewhere on the front, in the corner. You can make it fairly small, but it has to be legible, it has to be visible. See with a circle the date and your name. That's the first step. The second step, if you ever want to enforce your copyright, is you must register it with the Library of Congress Copyright Office in Washington, D.C. You don't have to do that at all. You never have to do that. If you find, however, that someone is making copies without your permission and you want to stop that, then you will have to register if you're going to sue the person involved. You make your registration on a form which is provided to you by the Copyright Office free of charge. For works of the visual arts, you use form VA, as in visual arts. For books, poetry, you use form TX. For works of the performing arts, such as plays, music, you use form PA, for performing arts. You fill out your form. It's basically a two-page form. It looks like six, but that's because there are four pages of instructions. A lot of the information that you put on the two pages of the form is repetitive. You fill in your own name and your own address about three or four times and leave a lot of blank paper, so it's really not that difficult. You send the form itself with a $10 application fee and either copies of the artwork or identifying material to the Library of Congress and wait 4 to 6 weeks to see if they'll take it or if they'll accept it in that form. If you are printing a large edition, say over 300 copies of a print, for example, then you have to send them two copies of the print itself. If you're dealing in one-of-a-kind originals or editions of less than 300, then you can make a photograph or a slide and send that in as identifying material with the form and with the $10 application fee. If they have a problem with it, then they'll correspond with you eventually and tell you what other information they need or why they have a problem. Okay, the last element is, what can you copyright? You can copyright your expression of an idea as opposed to the idea itself. What does that mean? That's maybe a nebulous kind of concept. And unfortunately, no attorney or judge or court has ever really come up with a concrete definition that will tell you the answer that you can write in stone and refer to for a good answer every time you need an answer. Well, the courts have looked at things like, what is the overall appearance of the copy and the original? What is the aesthetic appeal of the copy and the original? Are there substantial similarities? Did the infringer or the copier have the opportunity to observe the original? If you want to avoid any problems, don't look at someone else's work and copy it. If you look at someone else's work and say, well, I like that idea, I'm going to paint that kind of picture, and you end up with a totally different product and it looks different, that's probably not copyright infringement either. If you think someone has copied your work but it's not a photo reproduction and it's not exactly right, then probably what you need to do is take a copy and your original or a copy of your original to an attorney and talk about it. And even then, maybe all you can get is an idea, well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. What about cases where someone writes down for the first time a village legend or village history or family history? Can that kind of material be copyrighted? Part of it can be, yes. Part of it cannot be. The copyright cannot cover the idea or the concept or the basic plot of the story for two reasons. One is that copyright doesn't cover ideas. It only covers the expression of the idea. And the other is, by the definition of the problem, the story or the legend is by family tradition. The copywriter, in other words, did not create it. It was handed down to the person who's attempting to copyright it, or the writer. Well, since that person is not the creator, that person cannot copyright what was handed down. However, the writer can copyright her or his expression of the story, which would mean that with a proper copyright, the writer could prevent other people from making reproductions or photocopies of the language and wording used in her telling of the story, and even substantially similar versions of the story in some cases. But anyone else, despite the copyright, could still come along and tell the story in other words or in different versions. The copyright will not prevent that. In some, if a problem ever arises with your art in a gallery or a printer or a copyright or anything like that, I hope you'll think about consulting an attorney. Despite our reputation as a profession, we're not all expensive. We're not all dreadful, as someone said earlier this morning. Some of us are really interested in art as well.
Ed Nolde is an artist and an attorney working in the field of arts law. He spoke at the February confab held by the Institute of Alaska Native Arts. I'm Paula Schiller, and this has been a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.